30 seconds to go at least. The reset for Jones, trying to find space. Jones into the middle, space for Gustavo. Ball! 95th minute, winning goal!
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the MLS Now podcast. A little bit of a different episode. What came out the other day, I'm not sure when we're going to release this one, but the other day David released his talk with Bob and Travis Grimes over at FC Cincinnati, and they did a podcast focused directly on the team Cincinnati. Today we're going to be doing that with Chris for New England. Chris, how you doing today?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
I am doing great. I'm a little tired. It's a little bit late at night, 10 p.m. here on the East Coast for us. It's been a long day, but yeah, I'm doing good. I'm excited to talk soccer. I haven't really had a chance to do that in a while. So I want to get straight into it, actually, and I want to get your thoughts on overall how you thought New England did last season, obviously beating my beloved Orlando in the playoffs in Exploria Stadium in a very controversial game.
Four successful penalties last season, not played very much this. Around the corner approach and a consummately converted penalty. New England have the early lead. And he had his pocket picked by Buchanan. And off goes Heal. Waiting for Buchanan on his outside. Orlando opened up again here. And that should be two. It is Gustavo Bow. It's the poster boy. Saved. And the hero now is Matt Turner. Penalties playing such a part, together with red cards, in Orlando's playoff story. Gill. And there's Bow. A new dawn beckons for New England. Gustavo Bow, with the smile of a man who knows that that is the clinching goal, and the Revolution are heading towards the conference final.
What were your thoughts on the season as a whole?
So, regular season starting off, we kind of obviously dropped off. We had, we lost Heal throughout the season, for most of the season, so that was pretty difficult, and we were losing our DPs right and left throughout the season as well to random injuries and what have you. I personally think the regular season was kind of a wash. It didn't show the true strength of the team at all. But the ability of Bruce to pull in some players to at least somewhat band-aid the situation was pretty decent. And then, somehow when Heal came back, it was just like everything went back to normal and we were a team again and we were able to do what we could. And then obviously leading into the playoffs, we just went on a run. There's not much else to say besides that. Heal being in the team just boosted everybody, wanted everybody to do better. I think the hugest thing up for Heal being in the team was it allowed Buchanan to be more of a strong right wing back. He was able to just dominate that right side with his skilling and just overall making moves when Heal wasn't and vice versa. And then obviously we dropped out to Columbus, which was pretty rough, but beating Orlando is nice. I personally think beating Philly was the best out of everything because, what was it? We lost five times to them during the regular season. So getting the sixth and winning in the sixth in the playoffs was kind of awesome. I almost feel like they have to be our rivals now just because of last season.
Yeah, like they beat you five times, and then when it really mattered, you guys got the win. Plus, you guys, they were the technically the best team, although last season Supporters Shield winners were very controversial based on the teams that they competed against and stuff like that. But yeah, they were technically Supporters Shield winners, got the most points, and then you guys just went and kind of dunked on them.
Yeah, it was pretty great. Yeah, you have to love Buchanan. He literally was a Philly killer the entire season, and you know, somehow managing to do something against Philly every single time, or nearly every single time they played. So just him getting that goal in on them, he had to have loved, because, I mean, what's better than continuing to score against a team that you can keep scoring against?
The refs finally got the decision in their favor. It wasn't the one they wanted. Heel, free kick. Yes, oh, the header is in! It's Buxer who's done it! Bruce Arena's New England Revolution have come here and grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck. They lead. Now Buchanan through the first challenge and the second! And it's getting better and better for the New England Revolution. What an impact they've made here!
Yeah, it'd kind of be a thorn in their side. Let's talk about Buchanan, as he's a player that I wanted to highlight. You guys drafted him in 2019. Was this the expectation for him coming out of the draft? Was he supposed to be kind of a big player in your team, or was he kind of a, hey, we're going to draft this guy and we'll see how he does?
He was pretty much quite a few times Arena actually mentioned that he was meant to be just a, you know, kind of rotation player, maybe not even if, maybe just a, you know, when I need you cup type player. And he got the chance to show what he could do, and Bruce all of a sudden started rating him because he was in these, you know, bigger games and showing up and making sure he put his name on every time he played. So it was definitely, he started out from the draft being way down on the pecking order and somehow made his mark with the time he got later on.
Mm-hmm. What do you think it is about him? Do you think it's his on the ball qualities? Do you think it's his pace? Like, what do you think it is that Arena likes about him?
So I personally think he's got great soccer IQ. And I said it earlier, you know, him and Heel were able to, you know, bounce back and forth and bounce off of each other. And it was because of the moves that each one of them was making when the other had the ball. So they were able to see what was going on before it was happening and making sure, you know, they seemed to be on the same page the entire postseason. So it was definitely fun to see. I think that would be it. You know, him being able to just meld into any situation. I mean, being thrown into right back and basically ending up the right winger at that point. You know, it's kind of a tough go.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move on. And obviously we will get into new signings, but I think I want to talk first about an outgoing, and this is the big one for you guys. And I'm sure you yourself have had a lot of conversations and wrote in a lot of words on this one, but losing Fagundes, what were your thoughts on the loss of a player of that quality who maybe didn't live up to the billing all the time, but certainly had a big impact on your team at times? I want to get your thoughts on the loss of him and him going to Austin.
So for me, it's actually a huge hit. He actually grew up playing soccer in my hometown league, the Chippewa Valley Youth Soccer League. And so I don't really remember it, but it's quite likely I actually refereed his games when I was younger.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, him coming into the team, first of all, is just a huge thing in general, as, you know, I could see that Neshoba Valley Soccer was possibly a stepping stone. Obviously, he went on and played club and, you know, got into the academy and all that. But, you know, it kind of gives you that look up at him being like, oh, maybe I could do that. I wasn't that great of a soccer player, so I had my aspirations, but obviously didn't make it there. But
you could have made it.
Yeah, no, I had to put I had to put a lot more into it. Mm-hmm. That was my problem.
That's usually how it goes. Same with me.
he played a huge part of, you know, those, you know, 2010 to 2000, I don't know, I'd say 15, 16 was huge times for him. You know, obviously his first starts in that first year he played. It's huge to see it that young of a kid getting that big of a start, you know, going out and scoring.
Drops over the head of Samari. Barnes runs it down and does well to keep it in. Now Wynn puts it to the back post, and it's buried by Diego Fagundes. Diego's first goal since May. The Revs have equalized.
Making sure, you know, he put his mark on the game, and he continued to do it. But, you know, I think going on to it now, obviously, between 2017 to 2018, 2019, it was a different type of player. And it's mostly it wasn't that he was dropping off. I think he was being utilized in a different way. It came the same way when Arena came into it, everything. And that's in 2019 that he really dropped off. You know, the team was ending a bad time for the Revs. And so, you know, nobody on the team really wanted to play at all, or so it seemed. Mm-hmm. And then Arena came into the team, and he didn't view Fagundes as the same player in that number 10 role, which he loves so much. He started using him in a 8 or a 6 or, you know, a left mid position. And he was good at the left mid, but not good enough to take over some of the left wingers and, you know, right wingers that we had, you know, any of the wingers that we had on the team, Pania, Bunbury, you know, the like. But, you know, he wouldn't have been able to beat out anybody in those positions, the 6, the 8. You know, you have Caldwell, Caicedo when he was healthy, and, you know, and what's even worse is, you know, going into this season, if he had stayed with the Revs, he'd be seeing Cap Doom and other players coming into those same positions. So it might be good that he got out of Dodge.
Yeah, it might have just been a natural breaking point.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the way they broke is not ideal, but it makes sense. He wanted more money. He deserved the money over the time, but he doesn't deserve the money now, which mm-hmm. was the big thing. You know, he would have deserved that money 2 years ago, and that's when his agent should have gone after it. and, you know, he was, what, making like 200K, and he was hoping he pushed the money envelope to 600K and was hoping for them to, like, meet him, and they basically stood him at 300K for a salary.
There's a quote out there that's like, you don't give contracts to players for what they did, you give contracts to players for what they will do. And yeah, he waited way too long to try and get that contract, because 2 years ago, like you said, he could have easily been seen as, what will he do? What he will do will be worth the $600,000. And unfortunately, him and his agent did not take advantage of that opportunity. And, you know, now he's in a different place, not because of it, but, you know, he's not making as much money as he would have wanted.
Yeah, I think he's still made out pretty well. You know, he's ending up with a 3-year contract with an option year as well. Mm. So I haven't seen the salary. I'm assuming it's more than the 300K he was being offered here if he decided not to come back. I also think there was obviously some disdain from either the Rev side or Fagundes' side on, you know, coming back here anyways. So I think it was kind of null and void that the 300K even existed there, you know.
Yeah,
but he was really looking for them to meet him in the middle. So if he's making 400K at Austin, he'll be happy. I think even if he goes 350 and he can explore a new place, I think it's good for him.
Yeah, and sometimes you just need a change in venue. Let's move on here to one more question before we get to those that new signing that everyone loves to talk about when it comes to specific MLS teams. This one's more of a personal question. Your guys' coach, Bruce Arena, obviously been around forever. 69 years old. Is there any talk over in New England about his age and how much longer he can possibly be your head coach?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. It's not often talked about, but I definitely can see it being an issue. And honestly, I don't think he takes this role here without knowing that he's going to stay sporting director and that he may have the ability to bring on the head coach in that instance, you know, kind of turn into a general manager's position instead of the overall, you know, seeing all seeing eye. So I personally don't think too many people think about his age, but I think he has to be thinking about it himself. You know, it has to be something in the back of his mind. I think he wants to go out and see if he can win that last cup before he does it. You know, before he lets down the reins to kind of be like, I won it with the Revs. They did it. And now I'm done.
I'm going to retire now.
Yeah, that's all I had to do. I wanted a new project. I made the new project. I finished the new project. Here you go.
So it sounds like it's not something you're too particularly worried about.
No, I'm not worried about his age. He has a few quirks where his substituting and everything seems pretty questionable at times. But personally, I think you can get over that with the amount of skill he's brought into this team and he continues to bring into this team. So I think it'll turn out okay. But I also think he's going to give the reins down at some point.
All right. Well, let's finally get into that new signing. Wilfried Kaptoum, if I'm saying it right.
Yep, that's right.
Central midfielder, something that I thought you guys were pretty well stocked in, but could use an upgrade from the times I'd seen you play over the course of the past season. And it looks like you guys upgraded pretty well getting a player from Real Betis over in Spain. So tell me a little bit about what you know about Kaptoum and how he's going to improve your guys' midfield.
Atención ahí, que el Barça mete el tercero y lo hace Kaptoum, que yo no sé si es el primer balón que toca Kaptoum.
No, ha tocado uno antes, sí.
Pero pues el segundo.
Pero,
Kaptoum acaba de marcar el gol del empate. Valencia 1, Barça 1.
Yeah, so personally, me, I go all the way back to the beginning. He's out of the Samuel Eto'o Academy. So starting there is just awesome for him. So he moved from there to a fifth division team for a little while and then made his big break with Barcelona B in 2014. You know, that's huge. He's pretty young at that point. He's still pretty young. You know, he's only 24. So you know, that means he was 17 when he got his first big break. But from there, he actually got time up with Barcelona. He actually had a couple of Copa del Rey games. He actually had a great goal in a Copa del Rey game. You know, celebrating with Messi after the game. You know, that's his his famed picture that he has with Messi. So when this signing first came through, that was my biggest. You know, obviously I'm not huge into the Messi Ronaldo. They're great players, I get it, but I like focusing in on the players that have promise. I already know what they're going to do. They're just going to keep scoring and doing what they do. I like looking at the players that are coming up and making things happen. But Kaptoum, he continued on. Then 2016, he left Barcelona, went to Betis B, and then eventually made it into the Real Betis main team and eventually got loaned out. And that's kind of where he stood. But he's, for me, he's, you know, that center midfield role, but he's kind of an all-encompassing in that role. In the games that I've seen him play, he ends up in that center midfield position, but it kind of ends up being almost a winger position at the end. So it's kind of, you know, he could end up being a backup for Heal when he's out. A lot of people have seen the signing and don't believe that, but from the games that I've seen, I think he could back up Heal's spot very well. You know, obviously we have a bunch more midfielders in Caicedo and, you know, Caldwell and all the rest of them. They're, you know, there's two other decent midfielders.
Polster, yep. and what's the other one? I don't see another one other than Polster.
No?
Unless I'm blind. I'm on Transfermarkt. Caldwell, Kaptoum, Polster, Caicedo, Rivera. I don't know if he plays a lot for you guys. Probably not.
No, he's a rotation player. But, yeah. You know, even him, he depending on how the team heals and everything this year, you might see him for cup games. Looking from that, you know, you kind of wonder why he was brought into the team, like you said. But I personally think it's his ability to play kind of in a creator's role where he hasn't actually created much for the teams he's played for, but he's always in the spaces that it needs to happen. You know, I don't know whether it's just the players around him or the passes that he's making, but from looking at his stats, he's actually a decent passer throughout any of the games that he's played. So it's kind of interesting to see that he hasn't exactly made any really mark on any of those leagues. But you know, when he was at Barcelona B, he had 6 goals while he was there, in 42 appearances, which is pretty good. But you know, it's difficult to see him not fitting into this team very well because he has that ability to create.
Yeah, definitely one that I think you guys should be excited for. I'm excited to see how he fits into your team and how Bruce Arena deploys him. Will he start him in the middle and have him be kind of a wing fielder, kind of like what Kevin De Bruyne does, or just strictly in the middle, or maybe even shove him out wide to have him and Gil in the same team? I'm excited to see that. So moving on, I have to ask, because it feels like it came out of nowhere. Maybe this is just something that you guys felt that he was underappreciated for a long time, and so this is why he's just had an explosion of appreciation. But last season, it seems like, was the first season where Matt Turner was the talk of the town, where Matt Turner was the best goalkeeper in MLS, whereas years gone by, it's been Hamid, it's been Robles, it's been Andre Blake. He was in the discussion for a couple years, even Sean Johnson sometimes up in NYC. So, like, where did all the Matt Turner love come from? That's my main question, because, like, now all of a sudden he's in the U.S. men's national team picture. So like, what happened? Did he, like, make amazing saves in one game? Like, what happened there?
Straight run up. Oh, it's saved. Now the follow-up is over. Matt Turner is all fired up, and so is the whole Gillette Stadium crowd. What a moment.
There's actually a lot of things. His explosion was kind of his stats, his ability to shot stop. Was the hugest thing. So I don't know how much you delve into the, you know, XG, XA kind of stuff, you know, the expected goals.
I am an XG aficionado.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So I like the stat, and I do think that it does have some bearing on the game.
Yeah. So, you know, they also have the goals against versus expected goals against. And for him, has been off the charts for the past 2 seasons now, which is absolutely crazy. I think this past year was he stopped 8 shots that should have been absolute goals, essentially.
Wow. Yeah. penalty saver? And that, because I know penalties are really high on the XG charts, but so that might be some of them. Obviously, Nani's PK is one of them. Whatever.
Yeah.
But is he like a good PK stopper, or is it literally just these players will be in brilliant goal scoring positions and he will just find a way to stop them?
Yeah, that's actually the end game on that one. He literally finds a way to stop shots that are literally 3 yards from goal, and the absolute probably one goal on the XG mark. Those sort of saves he was making. I think he had a great couple ones that were just like coming in from the edge of the 6 yard box and should have been absolutely slotted past him, and somehow he gets a hand down to it. Those sort of saves where the other team's fans are literally looking at him like, how did you manage that? He's ended up in those spots, and that's what's put him onto the scene of everybody kind of giving him love. He's been a huge part of saving our season, even. If we weren't stopping goals, we definitely would have been probably not in the playoffs last year. So Turner being in that team, he definitely pulled some ties, some clean sheets where there was no right to. So that ended up being a great thing for the Revs, and it ended up kind of shooting him into this world where he was getting compared to Zach Steffen. And the worst part is everybody thinks it was the Revs who did it. I don't remember the actual other XG aficionado, but there was somebody who put out basically a chart of like the shot stopping and the pass completion, basically like morph graph. I don't know. I'm not sure if I got the right word for it, but basically like it shows the shape of like strong in this and strong in that.
Yeah. Like the circular one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, his was basically the opposite of Steffen's. He was good at everything that Steffen does, but Steffen has better distribution skills, whereas Steffen's shot stopping isn't as amazing as Matt Turner's has been. Obviously, they're playing in two different leagues as well, so that it's kind of not really fair to compare. But somebody made that comparison, and that's where that all exploded. And I don't know if that's what caught people's eyes, or he's always been on the national team radar. He had gotten one call up, but he didn't get to actually play prior to that. So it was kind of big for him to finally get his chance.
And then to stop a penalty as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, kind of null and void in that big of a game, but
yeah,
nevertheless huge to get the clean sheet off of saving a penalty. Like you can't love that more.
Seriously,
that's a great start, and you kind of still have to look at it. He's he managed to make plays out of the back calmly, cool. And that's what he needs to continue to do. Berhalter talked him up after those games, but he still, still kind of jabbed into him. It's like he's still got to grow. So
yeah, I mean, he's young still. He's got plenty of career left ahead of him,
which is crazy to say because he started out, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, really.
Yeah.
I think that's why people rate him so high and want him. It's almost more a wanting of him to do so well for the story.
For the narrative.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. Like this, he switched from baseball to soccer and just all of a sudden was like, I'm gonna be a goalkeeper. And then he was like, I'm not drafted at all, I'll just go play in Richmond. And then somehow manages to be seen on the scene.
Alrighty, so let's move on to another worry of mine for you guys, and that's Luis Gil, or Gil, sorry. Injured all last season, seems to have a couple injury problems over the past 2 years. Are you worried that something like that might resurface again this season? There's been a nice long layoff, so maybe that rest will be helpful for him, but is that something that you guys have been talking about? And obviously that has a big impact on the way your team builds up play and the way your team is successful in general. He's that good. But maybe talk about what you guys can do to counteract that. You know, is it Captoom who, if he does get injured, you have someone who can at least do a workable impression on what Carlos Gil can do?
So yeah, that's the biggest thing we're all looking at, is what happens if Gil goes down again. I personally think they did well enough of a job to heal him.
Lord, Chris. Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'll give you that one. I know.
No, but you know, he went over to Spain specifically to rehab everything. He went to a specific doctor, and our doctors over here had said one thing about his Achilles. When he went to Spain, they found out it was a more specific thing that they could take care of a lot easier and a lot less of a downtime for him, which is how he somehow came back magically right before the playoffs, you know, to kill everybody's dreams. But, you know, you have to look at that and be like, you know, it's an Achilles, you know, injury. So that's something that's part of soccer entirely. It's something you can get kicked in. It's something you can, you know, keep tearing and keep creating an issue for. So it's obviously something you have to look at. But for the team to back it up right currently, like I said, I think Captoom would make a good fit in there. And beyond that, there's a lot of winger types that could fill in to that role if necessary. I also don't think we're done signing players. I think we personally have, you know, one more creative player coming in. You know, because and you see this on the Twitter timelines all the time. You know, we lost Lee. We lost Lee Wen, which for the longest time he was a huge creative player, and we brought him in, you know, that for that short time to kind of stopgap the heel problem, but he didn't end up actually stepping up to the level of heel, I guess you could say. You know, he scored a goal and he assisted a goal. He had plenty of, you know, shot creating actions throughout that time, but his creativity wasn't exactly to the level of years before. So we haven't exactly replaced that position specifically. And I think it's something we have to look at. I actually just saw on the timeline that where it's pretty well reported that we're actually signing one of our draft picks, Edward Kizza. Mm-hmm. So he's a center forward. So maybe instead of focusing so much on having that center attacking midfielder, we could shift formations and go, you know, two up at the top and kind of, you know, use our other players to kind of shift into that center attacking midfielder role and kind of rotate around to figure it out.
I mean, you could use Tommy McNamara.
Yeah, this is true. But
he's really creative.
He's a great player. I honestly think us re-signing him this year was a decent idea. He's worthwhile in that midfield. He's not speedy enough for me. He's not, you know, and he's not always in those situations to create. You know, he doesn't put himself in the right positions like Heal does. So it's tough to kind of step from Heal and go all the way down to Tommy McNamara.
And
see them at the same level.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened last season, basically. Yeah. So, I mean, the move to Spain, that to me, that sounds like a really good thing for Hill, because it's like, it seems like over in Europe, they have a better grasp, a better understanding of sports injuries, especially when it comes to soccer. And obviously, they spotted, you know, what they think is the issue, and they're going to go ahead and rehab that. And if they do rehab that, he's gonna find it a lot more comfortable to play and trust his body and hopefully be a part of the team for an extended period of time this season, because, you know, you guys have a good team, good up and coming young team. I think you guys are gonna be in the playoff race pretty easily with the coach you have, with the team you have, and he's gonna be a big part of that. So him going over to Spain, getting that taken care of, and coming back, that's a big thing. That kind of eases my worries if I were a New England fan. Moving on here to Henry Kessler. So we've seen a lot of players move over to Europe. Obviously, some of them was, you can kind of guess, was down to the CBA negotiations and all that. So they sending them out on loan. Is he another one of those players we might see in the next year or two that kind of exceeds the MLS and moves over to Europe? Does he have that high of potential? Because I don't know where to rate him.
So he's kind of, right now he's in between. I think he has the level. You know, you saw him last year against, you know, Daryl Dike. Mm-hmm. You know, he was matching Dike quite well. So yeah, if Dike can make that move, you have to think that Kessler wouldn't be far behind. You know, the him getting the U23 spot, they just announced he's on the camp for the qualifying, so that's huge for him. You know, and I think that can only kind of spur that conversation more. You know, does he stay around, or does he, you know, kind of looking at the Matt Turner situation? Matt has stated that he wants to give us a cup before he leaves.
Mm.
I honestly can't exactly say that I'm completely, you know, in that where he doesn't leave after this year. But
yeah,
you know, Kessler is obviously, he was in the U23 camp before these past two games and could have been called up for the main team and didn't. I think he makes that move once he makes that team. I think once he makes the U.S. national team, you know, if he makes a stamp on the Olympics and, you know, makes that team, first of all, which I think personally he won't have a problem. But, you know, to go on from there, I think he needs to have a great season with us again, and then he'll be seen as another, you know, defender for those teams looking for that final piece in their you know, back line. So it'll be tough to look at him go, obviously, because, you know, we tend to create these great players and then just let them go out the door. It's kind of the MLS thing now, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tough to see your player. You want him to stick around because he's so strong in that position and so young. You know, you kind of want him to be the, you know, not quite the Fagundes, but, like, you know, stick around for 2 to 3 years and make your stamp on the club. But as a player, I want to see him continue to grow. So I think if not, obviously not this year, but I think I could say maybe the end of next year, he might be out of here.
It's going to be really interesting to see how MLS kind of gears up for World Cup 2026. Are they going to block transfers to keep their best players in the league like they have done before? Are they going to want to start to advertise the game and try and bring more bigger star names, maybe even star American names, back over to MLS? It's gonna be interesting. How do you see that? Do you think they're going to just stick with the, we need to grow the league, we need to grow our popularity, and so we're going to send our best players out to Europe since they're finally looking this way as the league improves in quality? Or do you think we're going to start to get kind of almost like what New York Red Bulls did with Aaron Long and say, no, we're going to keep him, he's one of our best players, and you're not giving us the right amount of money?
I think it'll be difficult to keep most of those players here, especially since, you know, obviously the MLS is the league on the whole. So, you know, they're the ones essentially making these big moves. I don't see them keeping those players around. And the way that everybody is growing in these leagues, you know, whether it become, you know, for the Revs, it's been through the draft picks. But, you know, FC Dallas, it's academy, you know, quite a few other academies have players, you know, hopping out and going to other leagues. So it's difficult to say that they would actually just stifle that, because you obviously want to keep them around. But I think it's only better for the entirety of the league and the U.S. national team to want your players to get the best out of it.
That makes sense. All right, I've got one last question for you before we head out, okay? Mm-hmm. Just how good is the new LA Galaxy jersey?
Well, it hurts me to actually talk about it, but it's an awesome kit.
That thing is a thing of beauty.
It's beautiful. I love it because, you know, it's a throwback kit. I honestly loved this past year's Revs kit that came out. You know, you gotta love the throwbacks. I personally would have loved the actual legit throwback to the original jersey, but I'll take what they did. But this is legitimately, that's the kit that they threw out. They just kind of updated it a little bit, you know, with the new badge and, you know, just it being an awesome kit in general. It's extremely clean, you know, and obviously as a Revs fan, I absolutely hate to give anything to the Galaxy. So
yes, no, I'm sure it's just like it's throwback, obviously, but it still looks modern. I think like they got the blend perfect. So I just had to shoot some praise over there. All right, Chris, that just about does it for me and my questions about the Revs, trying to update our listeners and our supporters about your beloved team. Where can our listeners, if they are not following you, where can they go ahead and follow you on your socials?
So I'm at Creighton C11. That's CREIGHTON C11. And also on at Short Corners 3.
Yes. Chris seems to write for like everybody when it comes to MLS content. And he was so kind to step up and start writing for us as well. And Chris, we really do appreciate it. You gave us a lot of good insight here today as well. So thank you very much. You have a great rest of your night, man.
You as well.